Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. The number I found some, I'm just looking through, I love looking through preseason stuff and fantasy and all that. Easiest fantasy wide receiver strength of schedule. The Titans have the best, easiest, the easiest.
So, they also have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, right.
I mean, unless Cam Ward becomes... Now, I guess after Jaden Daniels, you kind of have to say, well, you know, maybe, but I don't know. We'll see if Cam Ward's ready for that. Jacksonville has a little bit of defense. Houston's got a good defense.
What kind of season do you think Cam's having, Del? Rookie year.
He makes a lot of unfortunate sacks, and he'll make some throws that he has no business making. He's talented.
I don't have much faith in Titans. Not in year one.
I mean, it can't be a Jaden Daniels kind of thing.
I don't think there is enough around him for that to happen.
No.
Although, we didn't think much of the Commanders until Jaden Daniels did what he did. Speaking to them, Terry McLaurin, probably going to be a holdout.
Yeah.
He's not thrilled with the progress of their contract negotiations. But, you know, you mentioned Calvin Ridley, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, any other players you can say that would help the quarterback out on that roster right now, that off the top of your head? I don't think it's great. I don't know. Did they do enough in the offseason to help a rookie quarterback? Because we know the Texans already had Nico. They drafted Tank Dell as another weapon, and they brought in Dalton Schultz as well to help their quarterback. I don't know if the Titans did that, which might lead to a tough start.
Tyler Lockett, Jefferson.
The problem for the Titans is they're one of those places where wash receivers go to, you know, die. Pretty much.
Yep.
Tyler Lockett's a good vet. How much does he have left, though?
Tony Pollard and Ty J. Spears are the running backs.
I mean, for the Titans, can he be worse than Will Levis? Probably not, but what does that get you in year one?
Yeah. Vrabel's a good coach, though.
Well, Vrabel's in New England. You're talking about Brian Callahan now. Yeah.
New England is a favorite over Miami to beat. New England is like the second favorite in that division.
Because of
Vrabel and what? Because of Drake May?
They did spend
added some Stephon Milton Diggs. Williams, Stephon Diggs. They gave him a pretty sassy contract. That was a little surprising. Right after you get off the boat with the Tussie, whatever you call it, and the first thing you think is, let's give him a 3-year deal.
Well, they gave that to him first, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, but was it just finalized? Because it was recently... I mean, it was already out there, but then it just got...
They couldn't sign it until a certain date, remember? They had the money, but then they couldn't...
Until the league cleared them?
Until the league's new season. Okay. New.
I don't feel great about that contract, to be perfectly honest with you.
The second easiest wide receiver strength of schedule is the 49ers, then the Jags, the Raiders, and then the Texans. Fifth easiest wide receiver strength of schedule. So, And I just saw there's a list here of wide receiver one and wide receiver two. And, so Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is the best combination, wide receiver one and two. The Texans are Nico Collins and?
They're going to say Christian Kirk, aren't they?
They are not.
Oh, I would say Jaden Higgins.
You think he's going to have more catches than Christian Kirk?
Yeah, I said the other day I thought so. Christian Kirk's hurt all the time. Show me your Christian Kirk's not hurt. Even when he's not, you know, one thing that we saw is that I think CJ in the past, looks at outside receivers more than the slot receivers. Well, I don't actually – well, I know. You know, I don't know how they're going to use – Jaden Higgins could end up
– Jaden Higgins is Nico Collins 2.0.
If they don't go 11 personnel, is Higgins even going to be on the field? 11 personnel is three wide receivers. If they go two tight ends, probably Kirk is on the field.
Yeah,
probably Kirk is on the field and not Jaden Higgins. You probably have to be an 11 personnel, which snaps. I think will they'll be their base.
There's a lot of snaps.
Yeah, I think that will be their base. I think they'll have more snaps out of 11 than anything. Obviously, most NFL teams do. And once again, 11 means one running back, one tight end, and so that leaves three wide receivers. There's five skill positions other than quarterback. So if you're two, the first one is running back, second one's tight end.
Right.
So if you're 21, that means two running backs, one tight end. Obviously, it leaves two wide receivers. Just a heads up for when you hear the phrase 11 personnel. 12 personnel is a two tight end set. The Texans will run some 12 personnel. I don't know what percentage. We don't know this. So I asked James Gladstone, who's the GM of the Jaguars. I ran into him in Dallas this week at the O-line Masterminds. And he goes, have you had a chance to talk to Nick Caley? I said, no, I have not. I said, what do you think of Caley? He goes, man, high energy. He said, he's a good guy, good coach, very high energy, takes a lot of stuff from Sean McVay. I'm like, well, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he takes a lot of stuff from Sean McVay. He goes, also a New England guy. He made a point of saying that. He's a New England guy, too. And I said, I noticed that we're kind of slowly
– Popovich.
Popovich was a New England guy, too. Like, I'm noticing a big New England guy thing starting to load up here. Andrews, not
Jake Andy. Andrews.
Jake Andrews. Is it Andrews?
Center, yeah.
Yeah. Guess where he came from?
Yeah. Yeah.
New England.
Yeah.
We're getting kind of New England-y a little bit.
We used to be Denver South. Now we are.
Well, we were New England under Bill O'Brien, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were.
But we're trying to bring some of the New England back.
Mm-hmm. Don't like it. Don't like that part of the equation.
Nick Caserio is going to go with what he knows.
I'd lean more into San Francisco, although they tried that with Sloak and it didn't work. So now it's just Caley.
So wide receiver one and two, some interesting things. Well, target one and target two. They got George Kittle being the number one target for San Francisco this year with Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is making a lot of noise, wants out. He wants $20 million a year. He is probably going to be gone. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't trade him now. If they wouldn't trade him now.
He's kind of important for them, though. But how much are you worth? You know what I mean? Like, you got to, your value after you have a quarterback that gets paid a ton, a defensive end. Like, at some point, you got to say, can we replace this guy with someone cheaper? The answer is yes, you can.
Yep.
You may have short-term, it may hurt you short-term, but this is the problem you get into with the high dollar top five positions, which is left tackle, pass rusher, cornerback, wide receiver, quarterback. Is it everyone else? If you're not a wide receiver one, I mean, you better be real careful about how much of a pain in the ass. It's one thing for Trey Hendrickson to be a pain about his contract. If you're, you know, if you're Jennings, easy now.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, unless you want to get out of there because they're not going to – you can be replaced and for cheaper. So you got to be careful about complaining about your contract too much.
What's the – that's interesting. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, probably the best. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. They got Travis Hunter as the number two target in Jacksonville. Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter.
If they're playing both ways.
If he's playing both ways all the time, though, I don't know. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
So they are going to be, like, they are playing him. They're going to play him two ways, and they're really locking in on his wide receiver stuff right now. But they do plan on playing him two ways from what I was told. And they also know he's got a lot of work to do. Like, they'll tell you openly in Jacksonville, technique is not good at wide receiver or corner, which I saw on tape. But they'll say the same thing. He's got a lot of technique stuff to work on. Here's the dirty little secret. He's so talented and so athletic that even if the technique's not great, he's still going to be productive. It's not going to matter.
Yep.
Like, he's really good. He's really good. I think he could be an all-pro cornerback.
What did you see? They got Ladd McConkey 1 and Trey Harris 2. What did you see of Trey Harris?
Love Trey Harris. Trey Harris is officially holding out because of the second round thing. Trey Harris – I was surprised. Like, I think on tape, Trey Harris is a borderline first rounder. He's big. He's really physical after the catch. They use him on a lot of vertical stuff, but he ran on a 4.5. He's not a fast guy, but when you're running that Ole Miss vertical stuff, you know, you look faster because you get a lot of one-on-ones. And he's one of those guys like Nico Collins. You throw it to him, he's physical at the catch point. But if they threw him a lot of hitches, and once he got the ball in his hands, he turned into an aggressive runner, like really physical. So he's one of those guys that can get the tough catches. I like Trey Harris. I like him a lot. I like him in that offense because I think he'll get, you know, 65 catches this year as a rookie. He'll get the little hitches and go get, you know, on 3rd and 5, they'll throw a 3-yard pass to him and let him try to drag guys forward for a couple of I was surprised he went in what? Did he end up going to 2nd or 3rd?
2nd.
Yeah, I had a 2nd-round grade on him. I thought he would go, based on some of the teams I talked to, I thought he'd go in 3rd, but I like him, man. He's big, physical. Came from La Tech and then made his way over to Ole Miss. And sometimes when you see those guys, you watch them and you go, okay, you can see that they're really more La Tech guys, you know? Like, they're productive, but you don't know if they really have the traits to be big-time NFL players. He's one that I think has what it takes because he's tough as crap. Nico Collins should be the perfect example to everyone. Nico, he just didn't have a lot of snaps. I mean, he only played 1 year at Michigan, and he had the COVID year. But Nico, if you're big and physical and tough, man, you can play in the NFL. We saw that with DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins couldn't run, but DeAndre Hopkins could separate with his hands, with his body.
Contended catches.
And his hand, yeah. I mean, his hand strength was so good. Mm-hmm. It's some of the greatest that I've ever seen in my life, where he's going to go down as some of the strongest hands we've ever seen. Who was a better all-time wide receiver? Take the emotion out of it. It's a harder question. Andre Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins?
Andre Johnson.
You still going Andre?
Yes.
A lot of drops.
Yep. Andre Johnson. Andre was, yeah.
Statistically, longer. Dre is not going to be in the same position to have all the catches.
No. And DeAndre had better quarterback play, that's for sure.
Yeah.
but for
part of it, he had Deshaun. And there was a time Deshaun was pretty good. It's hard to remember.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yep.
I don't remember. Like I don't believe
3 years
you.
With the Texans.
No one knows that. You don't know. You don't know that. No one knows that. Brad, let's get him. Oh, should we do it, or we got to take a break? Let's take a break. We'll get Brad on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, we got John Daspit.
Yeah. John Daspit is the personal injury lawyer who makes sure that your family is taken care of. What happens if you're in an accident on the roadways? Maybe you are working at a job that is, you know, got some danger to it. As long as everyone does their job, everything's fine. But what happens when someone's negligent or something breaks down and you lose an arm, you lose a leg, you lose your life? Who is it who you're going to trust to, and that your family can trust to get the type of settlement that they will need now that the breadwinner is gone, now that you are out of the picture, either as a worker or in general? We need someone like John Daspit, because John Daspit and his law firm, they're going to fight for not only every medical bill that you're going to have, which is going to be substantial, obviously, if you have loss of limb, for example. That's going to be substantial, and it's going to be something that there's going to be care necessary potentially for the rest of your life. John Daspit's going to make sure that is accounted for. He's also going to make sure that the pain and suffering is something that's accounted for as well. If there's loss of life, you need to have that accounted for when it comes to the settlement. And John Daspit is going to do just that for your family. He's a name you need to know. You need to have it in your phone in case something ever happens. Even if it never happens now, you need to have it set up and ready to go. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or just go to the website for more information right now and to really familiarize yourself with John Daspit. It's DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brad wanted to get in here. We mentioned that before we took a break, so let's get him in right away. Brad, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
So I heard y'all talk about Terry Rozier earlier. And I've always had this take with the prevalence of sports gambling now, obviously the players want to get involved. They should allow them to gamble, but only on one bet. It's for your team to cover. No props, nothing. Just your team to cover. That's the only bet you're allowed to place. And NBA regular season might get a whole lot more competitive. There's a couple hundred thousand dollars on each side of the court playing, betting on the game. What y'all think?
Well, here's the problem. You're associating with gamblers, or you're gambling. You get yourself in trouble. You bet too much. Now all of a sudden you owe. Now all of a sudden you start, you know.
And you make a very public $50,000 bet on yourself, and then behind the scenes you make a $200,000 the other way.
Or
you're covered.
Yeah. Or
there's a lot of stuff.
Or you get yourself in trouble and you gotta find your way out of it. And how you find your way out of it is throwing games.
Just so. Because you're betting, yeah, it doesn't. Well, but that could be an issue at any point. But
that's a big reason guys do throw games.
But you know what is interesting though? Boxing and UFC, like those guys can bet on their fights.
Yeah, and golf you can bet on yourself too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, it speaks to the point of what he was just talking about is, you know, you can bet on yourself in boxing and UFC. You said in golf you can do it as well. I mean, golf, there's no real benefit.
I don't think that there's any. I've heard of guys doing it. I'm not sure that there's any rule against it. Maybe they do it secretly or whatever. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to bet on yourself if you're golfing. I mean,
yeah.
Now, betting on other guys could be a problem. You know, I'm betting on the guy I'm playing with on Sunday afternoon in the final pairing. That's a problem. That would be a problem for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's always some issues, but
yeah,
that's why they don't want to even open it up even one little bit. You know what I mean? They don't want to open up gambling one small little bit for betting on yourself, betting against yourself. Because how do you really track it? I mean, how are you going to really track it? You think everything is through legal gambling that is tracked and like, no, it's not.
No, but Vegas, if you bet through Vegas, then you're, but there's a lot of places that you can bet that nobody would find out, obviously. Or you could have somebody else betting it for you. If somebody you trust is, you know, is betting on you, or how do you know your brother bets on you? Hey, that's my brother. He can bet, do whatever he wants. He can bet on me, and maybe it's your money.
Yeah.
You know, so. I'm sure there's a bunch of that goes on. And as long as you're betting on yourself, if you're betting on the other guy, then that's a problem. We got a little bit of a problem here.
Yep.
713-780-3776, the number. Would you bet this parlay? Here's a parlay a guy put in. Ravens to make the playoffs, Chiefs to make the playoffs, Eagles, Niners, Bengals, Texans, Buccaneers, Bills, Chargers, Rams, Lions.
So that's every team.
Vikings.
He's trying to get every team.
Every team. $160 wager wins $51,000.
No.
Would you pick every playoff? You every year somebody comes out of nowhere and makes the playoffs.
You know what? You know, I'm thinking about it, but the Lions still have Dan Campbell. Golf's still a good player. Amon-Ra St. Brown. They get Aiden Hutchinson back. They may not fall off. I'm of the mind. I just have a feeling that J.J. McCarthy. Now, we got to remember, he's still a rookie. He didn't play last year. He didn't get so. But I just feel like O'Connell is a really good play caller, and maybe Minnesota will have enough. I think Green Bay makes it. So that would ruin that whole thing.
Yeah.
But I do like. So they have the Chiefs. See, I could see a scenario. I could see a scenario where the Broncos and Chargers make it, but
well, the Chargers are.
He's got the Chargers in there, yep. So he has Bengals though, right?
He has the Bengals
instead of the Steelers.
Yep, he's got the Ravens and the Bengals.
I mean, it's a lot of favorites. Basically, he's just taking all the favorites.
He's got basically the playoffs from last year. No,
yeah, it's all the favorites. Every one of those teams is the favorites. So I don't know. It never happens like that.
It doesn't. There's always surprise teams that get in there.
And Denver wouldn't be a huge surprise team. They're actually kind of one of the favorites to get in. But the surprise team could – well, so the Chargers are not really – I mean, the
– well, the 49ers didn't make it last year. They were bad.
Does he have 49ers
in there? He's got the 49ers in there. He's also got the Rams in there.
Could Arizona make it?
I don't know.
I like the
49ers healthy. You got to like the 49ers in that division.
Yeah, I guess. Although I will say, typically you do see the 49ers after a bad year, they come back strong the next year.
Yeah. I mean, he does. That's what he does. Did you see the picture of McVay 8 years ago when he started and today? And then Kyle Shanahan 8 years ago and what he looks like today?
Shanahan has aged. He's had some real ups
and downs. Now, McVay has not because he's got a super hot Russian wife, right? Is she Russian?
I like NFL to spit coach. In his mouth while he sleeps.
That's, yeah, you said that.
I didn't say that.
You did say that.
Nah, there's no proof.
There's absolute proof right there.
That's AI. It's a deep fake.
I like NFL to spit coach. In his mouth while he sleeps.
That's a deep fake.
That's not a deep fake.
Because the audio
that's
doesn't
a real
sound clean.
Audio. That's real audio of Lance Zierlein hating him because of his beautiful...
At the time, model, a girlfriend.
Model girlfriend.
It just seems like he had to... Like, too many good things are happening to
him
all
at
once.
He's got great hair.
Yeah, he's just had a great run. And he's like a less maniacal John Gruden. But he's still a little bit maniacal. But he's got so much John Gruden to him.
Yeah.
The way he talks, his energy level, his age when he started, how he came up. Like, Sean McVay and John Gruden are extraordinarily similar.
Would Sean McVay bark?
No.
Like
see, and there's the difference.
Yeah.
Is he's a little unhinged. Like, John, so is he even married? He's not married, is he?
Who?
Yeah, they married.
John, no, like, no, no, no.
Sean McVay?
No.
Oh, John Gruden?
John Gruden.
Oh, I don't know that.
No one would know. He's just kind of married to the game, isn't he?
No one knows.
He's married to football. Sean McVay, we know, like, they took the same path, and then they diverged at
he has
one
a wife.
Went all in football, and the other one said, I'm all in football, but I'm going to make time for a Russian girl.
He's married to the game and his wife, Cindy.
Wouldn't even know. So tell me what Peyton Manning's wife looks like, Del.
I don't, no idea.
Never seen her, have you?
Nope.
I've never seen Peyton Manning's wife.
Well, he keeps his family private, you know.
That's... In a dungeon?
No.
You don't
in a
NFL
well?
Players don't ever you never see an NFL player's wife? Why would you keep your wife private?
Because of idiots. Because people. Yeah.
Why would you keep her private? Unless you don't want the internet saying stuff about her.
Yes.
Does she have an Instagram? I don't know that. I don't know anything
There's
about
no chance.
Does she
has a Finsta.
You think she goes on Instagram on their fake
just,
account?
Like, Peyton, I don't need you having an Instagram with your name on it, but if you want to look at maybe recipes or something, there's always Pinterest.
You think he just
runs? Or you can do a fake, you can do a Finsta and just
why does he sound like
people.
John Rocker now?
Because that's how Peyton kind of talks. He's kind of rockery. Tennessee, Atlanta.
I don't know that he has that in him where he just orders his wife around and tells her what
I'm
he can
saying,
and can't do.
I've never seen her. Most other wives are at Gantt. You see them. They got bedazzled stuff.
Well,
they're going
you
and
see
having...
Taylor Swift and you see...
No, you see wives.
Brittany Mahomes.
No, you see wives. You see
Ooh,
most...
What
most
wives?
Wives aren't hidden. John, well, he's been in the public spotlight since...
Yeah, but Jared Goff's wife, you know her. She's a model.
You've seen Kurt Warner's wife.
They
you've
want
seen
you to...
Quarterback's wife, you see them
That's
all.
True. Yeah, Matthew Stafford's wife, you
yeah.
see
Yeah,
her.
You see all quarterback's
I know
wives.
Kyle Juszczyk's wife.
Who?
I know Kyle Juszczyk's wife. Huh?
One of the only wives
I've... Yeah, she bedazzles everything, doesn't she?
One of the only wives I've never seen, and I don't know that I've seen Eli Manning's wife.
Same.
Actually.
I don't know what... I don't know that he's married.
Hey,
I guess
the Mannings
he is.
Keep their wives in the background.
Okay? Clearly.
You think they learned that from Archie?
Well, I saw...
No.
Archie came to Houston. He brought his wife with him. That was very nice that they came together. But you never saw Archie's wife when back in the day.
Is Peyton
I mean,
Manning
the Mannings
married?
Are like, hey, it's a man's world.
I mean,
okay.
I mean, you don't need to well, hide. Like, There's when, no reason to hide that.
When
There's
Eli,
no,
I mean,
what's she gonna, what's the internet going to do to him?
He shouldn't be ashamed of her.
Well, no, what's the internet going to do to him? Like, it's just, I don't know. It seems strange to me that.
Well, there are a lot of pictures of Eli with his wife out
and
about.
There's pictures with Peyton, too.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, but the Mannings
family?
Know, they're like, we know where a woman belongs.
Okay. Now,
I see, don't see what you're doing
you
there.
Now you did do it. You did actually do it. You said, hey, Peyton, they just don't want to put them out there because of the internet. And they're like, get in the kitchen, woman. I see what you're doing. You're so easy to goad into telling a woman to make you a sandwich. And, oh, by the way,
John's
Kate,
like,
Kate McClain, a top...
Oh, she's making us sandwiches?
One of the best chefs in the city.
Hot dogs. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's not. John's like, less selfies, more sausage and gravy. He's doing, hey,
less
woman.
Less selfies.
Hey, woman.
Why don't you take a picture of what you... Why don't you take a picture of what you're making?
Yeah.
And the ironic thing is, I'm the sandwich maker in my house.
Wendy's the breadwinner.
That is the ironic thing.
That is. She doesn't cook.
A lot of talk when Wendy can't hear you from L.A.
That's right. That's right, woman.
You see? She doesn't stream. She has an Android.
No, she's sleeping.
Well, you can stream on the Android now. Yeah, it's early.
At 6:30?
Probably getting up now. Yeah, probably.
She's in the news business.
The summer circuit continues tomorrow. Okay, you want to win a power-on electric bicycle from, you want to win an e-bike from power-on electric bicycle company, $4,000 value, two of them. You win two. We're giving away a pair, $4,000 value. You got to get to McCormick and Schmick's tomorrow to register at our promo table. All right, they're going to be there from noon until 6 at McCormick and Schmick, town and country location. And the entire summer circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. 713-780-3776. The number to get in here with
Holy
us on
crap.
ESPN975.
How many kids do you think Eli Manning has?
40.
Seven kids.
He's got seven?
Yeah.
Eli, ease up.
Him and Philip Rivers.
It feels like a...
Connected in all ways.
Yeah. They got, between them, they got like 20 kids. We got break. Keith, you're on the other side. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Keith is up next. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys, love the show. College football 6 weeks out. I'm looking at Vanderbilt's schedule. They had a great year last year. They beat Alabama, won the bowl game. The quarterback's back. You know, with the playoff expansion, you know, I'm looking at the schedule. Vanderbilt could be 5-0 heading into a, you know, a colossal rematch against Bama with an unproven quarterback. I'm kind of seeing, you know, say they lose to Texas. Obviously, Texas is a favorite. You know, is Vanderbilt, is 10-2 crazy? Like, with that quarterback and that team, I think they maybe drop one to LSU and Texas, but they should beat Bama, Missouri, South Carolina. They avoid Georgia and Ole Miss. Tennessee loses their quarterback. They've got some cupcakes early, plus a Utah State. I think Vanderbilt could be 10-2 heading into the college football playoff.
Is a 10-2 Vanderbilt team in the playoff?
Why would we say Vanderbilt's going to be 10-2? You want to keep? You really want to go down this road?
Well, let's see. Vanderbilt, Charleston Southern, at Virginia Tech, at South Carolina. I don't love Vanderbilt at South Carolina, Keith. Georgia State, okay. Utah State, okay. Alabama, you think they're 5-0? You think they beat South Carolina at South Carolina?
What are you talking about? That's why I'm like, why are you
asking? I think they could be 4-1. If they beat Alabama again, at Alabama, nah.
You're not beating Alabama
LSU,
in a revenge game,
nah.
And you're not beating South
Missouri?
Carolina South Carolina.
I don't think you're beating Missouri.
What are we talking about
At
here?
Texas, Auburn?
No.
Kentucky, at Tennessee? Come on, Keith.
Well, they can probably beat Kentucky and Auburn at home, but at Tennessee.
At Tennessee, at Alabama, revenge game, Texas,
and they're LSU, not a
South
lock to beat.
Like, what is Keith talking
they're
about?
They're not a lock to beat Va Tech on the road at night. In-
I know, that's not an easy game.
No. And Missouri?
Yeah, if they're 10-2, put them in a play. As a matter of fact, give them the national championship if they're 10-2. Don't even have a playoff.
Keith, slow your roll on Vanderbilt football right now. I know Diego Pavia is good now. He's really good. And he's a lot of fun. They had some upsets. They won a bowl game. You know what? They could go back to a bowl game this year at 7-5. I could see it. But 10-2, come on. They got LSU, Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas, Alabama, at Alabama. Come on. Come on, Keith. Pick it up. Pick up your game, Keith.
Come on, Keith.
Come on, Keith.
Do not try to kill this segment off with Vanderbilt talk and how, guys, I could see them going to the playoffs. Like, what?
Yeah, Keith, you should have called in at about like 9:07 when Lance is eyeing a hot dog like it's the last thing ever eat.
Now, kill that. Now, we can take care of that segment. Yeah. All right. Actually, call back in, Keith. We're going to give you a segment.
At 9:05.
We'll turn the microphone. Do you know what I did? I remember at 1561 day, you were gone. And I think KJ was, I can't remember who it was. And there was somebody who could talk on the phone forever and ever and ever. And I remember I literally got up and left and went and used the bathroom and came back and they were still talking. Just to make a point about this person will talk the longest.
I remember that.
Anybody I've ever seen. Yeah.
Was it an interview?
No. And actually, I think I told them I was leaving and I needed them to keep on talking. It was something I was doing on purpose. Maybe it was KJ who was talking. Because I remember telling him, hey, I got to go do something. So here's what it was. I was doing the afternoon show because Johnny Harris was on vacation and Sean was on vacation and Johnny Harris couldn't make it in because something happened. He had traffic or something. So I was up here, so I had to do the show. So I'm doing their show by myself. And, you know, I'm calling in like, hey, you guys want to call in? And I said, hey, I got to use the bathroom. Why don't somebody call in and just talk for about 5 minutes? And I think it was KJ called in, and I said, okay, you ready? I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you know when I'm back. And they just started talking. That was kind of how 1560 was, though.
Well, we
would do things like that.
Well, Keith, I'm sure, could do it.
No, Keith could do it. Keith's pretty good at sports.
Yeah.
Keith could 100% do it.
So is that Keith?
Keith's back on.
He can defend himself.
No, he can't. You know why? Because he tried to tell me that at South Carolina is a coin flip game for Vanderbilt.
No, it's not.
Oh, come on.
So he can't defend himself, actually.
Are we just doing this all because of Diego Pavia?
I guess so.
Well, I don't know if you heard. South Carolina's got a pretty good quarterback,
That's Keith's argument. No, they can. That's not a coin flip. It could be an upset if you want to say that. But
South Carolina's not a coin flip.
That's not a coin flip game.
No, Derek, that's a good program. That's a very good program right now. And they've got a really good quarterback. LSU found that out last year. Holy crap, he was good. That team's pretty good. That ain't an easy place to play at all. No, Vanderbilt ain't going there and winning. But if they do, Keith's going to call. You know Keith's calling in.
He'll call in either way, but I wouldn't have chosen Vanderbilt as my team, my dark horse to make the playoff, considering what they have to go through.
How about South Carolina? That's a dark horse.
Not even a dark horse at this point, considering how close they were last year. All of Vanderbilt's tough games are on the road.
Yeah. At Alabama.
At Tennessee. At South Carolina. Oh, they do have LSU at home. Yeah. And Missouri. But they've got the top of the SEC on the road.
Yeah.
That's not a good formula to go 10-2.
Well, they don't have Georgia. They don't have Florida. But they still... They ain't going 10-2, Keith. They ain't going 10-2, brother. All right, 843, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's take one more call, and then when we come back, I want to hear C.J. Gardner-Johnson talking about leaving, why he left Philadelphia. We'll do that. But first, let's get Pena in here. Hey, Pena.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I just wanted to call about, I don't know if y'all talked about, Teddy Bridgewater getting suspended by Miami Northwestern.
Yeah.
I think that's so BS, man. He's trying to make a difference for his players, trying to help them out. Yeah, I understand some of them get paid, but I think it's BS. He's making a difference, and you're going to punish him. If I was one of his players, I would sit. I would try to get all the other players to sit because that's just BS, man. Thank you. I'll have a great week.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, Pena. The problem with it is that other coaches don't have Teddy Bridgewater money, so that's a big advantage for Teddy Bridgewater to get players to go there because he's paying for all their stuff. If you raise funds and you do it that way, that's one thing. But a coach paying his players is another. I don't know. I'm torn on it. I agree. Probably a lot of poor kids there. He's paying for meals. He's paying for camps. He's paying for Ubers for them. it's a conundrum because other coaches in the league are going, I don't have Teddy Bridgewater money. I don't have that NFL check. I never got that NFL check. How can I compete with that? So, yeah, it's a problem. At first, I looked at it, I said, are you kidding me?
Well, no.
The guy's helping kids?
Common sense is, yeah, we all, like, suspended.
Yeah.
Feels like a little much, but I understand the sentiment behind it is, okay, well, it is a tremendous advantage he has over others. And in the way that players move schools,
yeah,
it can turn into a recruiting advantage.
Too. Well, right. And, so, he's got Teddy Bridgewater name on top of the money.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Which is already a benefit. Which
that he can use. He can't use his
money.
Yeah,
he's a legend down there for what he did. And obviously playing in the NFL.
I don't feel bad for him doing what he did.
No.
What he did was awesome.
So KJ has confirmed it was him.
Yeah, it was him. That called in and I said, I need someone to talk for about 5 minutes. I need to use the bathroom. And it was KJ. And I don't even know what he said. I just went and used the bathroom. I went and used the bathroom. I think I got something to eat or drink. I just knew KJ could hold it down. I think Keith could do that.
I think if we
needed five minutes, Keith is the guy
now,
that we could put
on. Now, he talk about backup quarterbacks getting signed.
Could we leave Israel on the air for 5 minutes and not start something? I just think that'd be too dangerous.
I think without the backdrop, the backstop of yelling at you, I don't know if he can go for 5 minutes.
And I never hear it because I'm never even here.
Yeah, but without you being a point of contention for him, I'm not sure he can do just 5 minutes without you being the focus.
That's a good point. It'd have to be 5 minutes of.
Well, he could just still talk about all the crappy stuff Lance says.
Airing of grievances. Well,
there's
with
a lot
Reed
of
Shepherd.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of good stuff. I'm sure he could do 5 minutes. I
hear like rustling out there, which might suggest there's food in the
building. Time to talk about Champion Energy.
Yeah.
Kate McLean is coming by from Tony's, and this has been the most exciting day we've had in a while here. It's a post-All-Star show. And Champion Energy, I paid my bill today, as a matter of fact, this morning. And I got to tell you, I can't be happier. Can't be happier with what went on, how great Champion Energy has been for me here in the city of Houston. I think I've been with them for over 17, 18 years. It's just been fantastic. If you're looking for the best way to get your electricity to your home, it's Champion Energy. I'm telling you, champion.energy/1560. They get a hold of you to tell you, hey, your contract is up. We got a better rate. Nobody else does that. They just keep you on that rate as long as they can and charge you more. Champion Energy says, no, we're going to get you that better rate right now. It's what they do. It's what they've been doing. Champion, you want to save some money every month? champion.energy/1560.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll have, this segment, and then Kate is going to join us here on the show. Kate McLean, super chef, unbelievable person, and she's a superstar in the cooking world here, in the chef world here. She was over at LeShane's with you, right? That one
Canada Day.
Huh?
Yeah, she was there celebrating Canada Day.
Yeah,
it's always a big deal at Riel. Riel is a Canadian. It's Louis Riel or whatever.
Yeah.
And, she was there, and she's friends with Ryan, and Ryan told me.
Ryan goes.
Ryan's like, she's one of the best cooks in the city.
Yeah.
He goes, there's a lot of guys who can't even cook anymore.
Yeah.
They don't cook. He goes, she's good.
Yeah.
She's really good.
No, she's great. Tony's is, it's just incredible what she's done over at Tony's over these years now. And she's going to be joining us in a little bit. They've got, if you want to watch the Astros game in a stadium, restaurant stadium setting with all kinds of great ballpark food, then we'll talk to her about that. CJ Gardner-Johnson was on with Ryan Clark on his podcast. And asked about
like when he's got a mic in front of him.
No. He had a lot of great things to say about Jalen Petrie and Kalen Bullock. He said he was like, it's, you know, he thinks Petrie could be a linebacker. He thinks Petrie could be
That's kind of how they play him.
Yeah, and if you're short a linebacker with Christian Harris never there.
I thought when he came out of college, they might try to pump him up and kind of play him some there.
And yeah, now with as many safeties as they got, of course, Jimmy Ward won't be there soon.
Right.
Because he's never there.
Right.
So you're going to have Bullock and you're going to have CJ and you're going to have Petrie, but Petrie can step down, right? So here is CJ Gardner-Johnson talking about why he is no longer in Philadelphia.
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call because guys come off the sideline. If you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. He's when you tell them the period is live.
Me, I guess.
You telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football? Or you want me to be a leader and outspoken, but then you want me to sit back and just, I'm cool with taking the back seat, but I'm not cool with little things like, okay, I'm misled. I'm confused. I don't understand what you want me to do.
It's just too much. You can just that answer alone. It's just a lot for veterans to deal with. Coaches like, come on.
So
we don't have to make it. Does it have to be so extra in practice?
So this video was put out, and somebody had put over it. D'Amico will put up with stuff, but not if you're not putting the team first.
That's true.
And you know what? If in fact you know they're competing and they're at practice. Of course, no coach wants to see his own guys fighting or whatever. But is CJ Gardner-Johnson going to be disruptive, or is he going to be his competitiveness going to help the team be bigger dogs? You know,
you can't program a dog.
Well, no, you can't program a dog. Really, it's hard to program a dog because they're dogs. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not C.J. Gardner-Johnson can make it more than a year in a place. Because it seems like every place gets tired of him. Every place gets really tired of
him. You can't program a dog.
No, you can't program a dog. We know that. Thank you, C.J.
I guess. And then we had a scuffle in practice. I guess I got blamed. I guess.
I guess no, I got blamed.
You're 100% the culprit.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, Chef Kate is going to join us here, and we'll tell you what's going on, how you can enjoy your Astros this summer. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.